This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
The focus is on trying to just win a hockey game. Nothing more. Be a good pro and win a hockey game.
Welcome in. It's Sabres Live, and it's the final day of the regular season with Marty. I'm Brian. And Marty, your thoughts heading in with James Reimer getting the call tonight?
I'm surprised. And that was exactly where I thought we weren't going to go to start the show, because I'm like, oh, okay, we're going to see probably Luukkonen one more time. And after what I thought was a good game from the netminder on Tuesday against the Leafs. And so it looks like James Reimer will be in net tonight, because he was in the starter's net this morning. So no Beck Malenstein at the morning skate. So everything else was the same. But I'm surprised. There's a couple of ways to look at it. One is it's not a throwaway game. It's not just a whatever, last game of the season, I get it. But you play that game the same way. You prepare the same way. You go through your progression, your practice. What do you want to see from anybody? So if there was 5 more games left in the year, would tonight be a James Reimer game? Would you go Luukkonen again? I probably would have gone Luukkonen again, but that's just, the conversation internally is probably different in that way. So, but you got to play the game just like it is not the last game of the season. You got to prepare like it's not the last game of the season, and you got to go out there and be a pro and get it done.
What does that mean? It is the last game of the season. Why would you prepare that it's not?
Well, some people would say it doesn't matter. It's the last game. Who cares? Well, you still do your homework. You still have your power play meeting. You still have your penalty kill meeting. You and I are still going to do our homework. I still look at it. The Flyers are 5-2-1 in their last 8. That was after John Tortorella firing, and Fedotov is in net for them. Well, he's had some tough times. So you're doing your homework to prepare like it's not just a throwaway game. That's the way I mean it. I get that the schedule says game 82, it's the last game, but that's after the game. That's after, when you're taking your gear off and you don't have on the board bus at 10 o'clock or practice at 10 o'clock tomorrow. Right now, it's just like game 32 or game 2. That's the way you got to prepare.
I'll go back to the first talking point. What does it mean that Reimer is starting tonight, in your opinion?
My first thought is, well, did something happen to Luukkonen in the game that he's not 100% healthy to play? Because we saw him taking a couple of high shots, a couple of shots in the head. he had a couple of scramble plays where he had to stretch out. And so that's my first thought, is that they played Tuesday. They didn't have a practice on Wednesday. Maybe there's some lingering issue or something to that effect. That would be my first thought. And look, we don't know. We won't know until later, or if that is being brought up, but that would be my first thought.
Nothing more than that, then.
I don't think so. I mean, like, I can't see.
I just think that's what, you know why I'm asking this. I mean, James has played the bulk of the games here down the stretch, and Lukanen's the one under contract. That's all.
Yeah, and that's the reason is like, you think about it, and that would be my first thought. The second, there's not even a second thought. The second thought would be, why is Lukanen not being played against? You know, he played against Toronto. You play him again on Thursday. Unless there was, you know, something else that is like, hey, don't like the way you practice, don't like the way you maybe missed me. I don't know. I have no idea. The only thing that comes to mind is maybe there's a little something that is not 100%, and they're like, we don't need to push it and make it even worse. This is maybe the only reason why you say that's the last game of the year. Because you're like, we don't need to push it. But that's the only thing I can see right now.
All right. Well, under the assumption that he has played his final game this season, then what is the takeaway of Lukanen's season?
Well, the takeaway, I think he said it after Toronto, some to the effect that he has to be better. And I think that it comes down to that. It comes down to, can you manage the rough moments? Right? Everybody's talking about the 13-game losing streak. Well, Lukanen lost 9 of those. Can you manage the rough moments? I was looking at, because Montreal clinched a playoff spot last night, I'm looking at what were the standings on December 1st. Montreal was 5 points back of Buffalo. Ottawa was actually 2 points back of Buffalo. And that's the month that you had that streak and carried on. And so how do you manage the bad moment? And that is something that Lukanen and the Sabres failed to do this year. But since we're talking about Lukanen, that can you win a game with your B game? Can you win a game with your C game sometimes? Because that's what you need to be able to do. And Lukanen was not able to do that this year. He was able to win games with his A game, and he actually lost some games with his A game at times. So that is, you got to be able to flip that. And I think December was a very, very bad stretch for the team, but for Lukanen, and he never recovered from that. Last year, we saw him second half of the year, you know, top 2 in goal save above expectation, and, you know, the numbers were unbelievable. Well, he never had to deal with some of the losing streak. Everything was kind of consistent and steady, and he felt really good. He won some games with his B game. He won some games with his C game. This year, he wasn't able to get that done. And that's the takeaway, is that how do you look into next year? And if you're going to be the guy and you're going to be the number one goalie going into next year, how do you manage when you don't have your A game to be able to still win games?
I didn't look this up, so I apologize in advance, but did you have a point in your career where you had as sustained successful run as Lukanen did last year and then have a follow-up like this year?
Yeah, so I think my biggest from 1 year to the next was my first year with the Flyers. I have 30 plus wins, make the playoffs, go to the conference finals. And then the next year we started the year and it was a rough start. And it was a rough start personally. It was a rough start as a team. Looking back on it, okay, I think we all felt like, oh, this is great. We're on a high run. And I don't know that the same commitment in the offseason to prepare and to be ready was done. It was the same year that they named Mike Richards the captain and they gave him the long-term contract and they gave Jeff Carter the contract and they gave Braden Coburn the contract and Randy Jones. And it was like, everybody's getting paid. Everybody. And it's human nature, maybe to a certain extent, but we did not, and I know, I did not prepare as well for the next year because everything seems to be going well. Now, did I recover in season? Absolutely. Did we make the playoffs? Yes. Did a lot of those guys recover in season? Yes. We had a bad start, but we were able to recover. I don't think Lukanen was able to recover this year. And if you say, okay, well, what does that mean for Thompson, who's got paid, and Dahlin, who's got paid, and they all performed good this year. Yeah, did the team had some slower moments and losing streak? Yes. But overall, you can't say that the 13-gamer is on Thompson's shoulders or on, well, Dahlin was, you know, starting game four. I think he missed most of them. So you can't put that on pretty much anybody else here. And I'm not saying I'm putting it on Luukkonen just for him. It's the team. But he's the one that at some point needed to have that performance to say, I'm stopping it. I'm going to stop it. I'm going to put up the wall. I'm going to do it for a week. We're going to get back into winning ways. That's how I felt like I flipped my second year in Philadelphia and I got to where I wanted to go. And a lot of people did. That just wasn't done, this year in that way.
A lot of different ways to go here. You were obviously way, way, way further along in your career when you're citing this example.
Yes.
Right?
And, yes. And but it was really my second year as a reborn number one. Because I had a little bit of, being a number one. But then it was like, oh, sorry, Marty, you're the backup. And I was the backup year after. And now all of a sudden I have to relearn to deal with being the number one. Mm-hmm. And I did it my first year, but it was no pressure at all. We were last in the league that year before the Flyers. We come in, we're first in our division at the All-Star break. And then mm-hmm. we had a 10-game losing streak. And I remember that was telling. How do you come out of a 10-game losing streak? And we actually broke that streak here in Buffalo with the Flyers. And then we made the playoffs and, got ourselves going. So I think there's some learning in this season. But so again, not having Luukkonen played this last game kind of is like, okay, is the learning complete? I don't think so. Is the learning got to go into next year? I don't know. That puts a lot of question marks.
Yeah. And I think, well, there's, again, many things to take from that. You mentioned the 10-game losing streak that you overcame and made the playoffs, and that's why I don't like to focus strictly on the 13-game winless streak this year, because as much as you wanted to excuse Dahlin's absence for a large portion of that, Dahlin, Thompson, Tuck, and the entire company were part of all the other 5-6-game winless streaks that ultimately add up to where they are today, right? So then how do you measure those moments as far as takeaways of, whatever you want to call it, improving, building upon, changing, moving forward? How do these top core players prevent these other losing streaks? Because it was not just one. It's never just one moment of the season. And even, unfortunately, since the Four Nations and a prolonged winning streak of 7 games at home prior to losing last night, they're basically a game over 500 since the Four Nations.
Yeah, so, which is a
game over 500 from that length of time is only going to put you at 3 or 4 or 5, maybe, games over 500 for the year, which is not going to get you to the playoffs.
It gets you to 85 points. 85 points is not going to get you to the playoffs. Look, Montreal made it with 91. 90 is always the very minimum that you have to kind of look for. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, in the Western Conference, 91 wouldn't have made the playoffs. So in the Western Conference, you're looking at 96. The Flames at 94 with a game left didn't make it. Mm-hmm. They can get to 96. They won't get in. So, and we remember it was like 4 years ago or maybe the year before the pandemic.
100 points.
Everybody got 100 points in the Eastern Conference. Yeah. So, that's why I look at, you're right, because I can't just put it all on goaltending. I can't put it all on.
Yeah, you can't put it on one 13-game segment. There's more to it than that.
One 13-game segment.
Yeah.
But that really hurts when you have that. So you have to overcome that even more. Mm-hmm. But when you add 2 or 3 segments, and it comes down to probably the same thing. It comes down to, are you playing well defensively? Because you have the talent to be able to score. Are you getting saves? And we saw that when Reimer started to win. You're like, oh, I don't think that Reimer was being Dominik Hasek in net, but he was giving solid performances. And then all of a sudden, we're winning one, we're winning two, we're winning three. We won six in a row at home. Like, that's basically the bottom line, I think, when you look at the season. Is it more complicated than that? Absolutely. But that's where you gotta figure it out. Because Ottawa got into the playoffs, added Allmark. We talked about this. Montreal, Montembeau played a lot better. And really, Columbus got a last season push because Jet Greaves was playing really good. Mm-hmm. If you look at Merzlikins and Tarasov before that, you're like, it wasn't great.
Yeah, so, but they were still in the hunt, and they were actually in position more often than not throughout the year compared to, you know, the month of March when it derailed. So they overcame inconsistent goaltending. They really did, because they were a very good offensive team and they had a Norris Trophy candidate. See, this sounds very similar. Like, the Sabres had an offensive team, just like Columbus. Norris Trophy type player, Werenski, mm-hmm. Dahlin. Like, there's some lot of similarities here. But Columbus was quite a ways ahead of Buffalo in all of this.
Yeah, but at the end of the year, Columbus may end up at 87, 88, or 89 points, which is like, it's not enough. We said bare minimum is 90.
Right.
So what's Columbus focal point going into next year?
2.5 times as many injuries as Buffalo, just for an example. That's...
Yeah, but I mean, right? What's the focal point for Columbus next year? If you're saying, Columbus will make the playoff next year if blank.
Jet Greaves is the starter.
If Jed Greaves played the way he played at the end of the season.
Right.
If they get goaltending.
But there's no guarantee he's going to be that from the outset next year.
No, so if you're Columbus, what do you have to do? You have to think, well, Jed Greaves may be the guy, but you have to surround him. You have to help him.
Their roster's pretty good, and they got huge, huge, huge jumps from their youngest players this year. That's the biggest difference, presumably. Adam Fantilli, Kent Johnson. Yeah. Just to name two. But, you know, those are enormous steps for them organizationally, with Marchenko emerging as a superstar. Relatively speaking, it's 1 year, I get it. But he's put himself into that point per game player conversation. So when you take it back to Buffalo then, which players would need to be that much better? And as opposed to just saying everyone, we all understand that. But just to contrast it, like, you know, because we're talking about Columbus here, but it doesn't have to be that. Like, where do the next biggest gains have to come from?
Well, I think the easy answer would be Jack Quinn, because if you have Thompson and you have Norris back in the lineup and... You know, Tuck plays the same way that he does or did. Zucker and McLeod play the same way. Paterka plays the same way. I think your one hole in the top nine is to say, we need Jack Quinn to be to the next level. We need Jack Quinn to be 25 goals, you know, 55 to 60 points, a power play contributor. Like, that's where it would be. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think... offensively, seasons are going to fluctuate. Some guys are going to have better number than the year before. Some guys are going to drop a little bit. Some guys are going to drop a lot more. I don't anticipate a big drop in Tuck, in Thompson, in Paterka. McLeod had a great year this year. Even if it drops a little bit next year, does it move the needle so much? No, it doesn't. And Zucker, great year this year. Same thing for him. But I think Jack Quinn is a guy that can help move the needle, because he has a much higher ceiling than McLeod and Zucker in the production offensively that he can bring. So that's why I would say him. I'm not going to look at Zach Benson and say, Zach Benson, in my opinion, is not a 60-point guy. He doesn't move the needle that way. Peyton Krebs doesn't move the needle that way. And maybe the way to look at it in the offseason is the guys that don't move the needle that way, maybe that there's a reason. You know, the guys that move the needle, they're the guys that have to continue to, you know, move forward. And that's, you know, Dahlin moves the needle. I think Byron moved the needle this year, but Owen didn't. So is Owen a guy that now all of a sudden has to move the needle, or is he never going to be that guy? So that's what you have to have the conversation internally and make the decision on some of those players, who's moving the needle and who isn't.
Power, of course, getting second opinion on his injury today. Interesting phrasing there, just because obviously he had a career year offensively, but you chose to phrase his season the way you just did.
Which guy?
Power.
When? The offense is nice. The offense is nice. But what we've seen now often is that there needs to be more on the defensive side. There needs to be a bigger ownership of defending, of being strong in front of the net, or of asserting your physicality. And that's why I think Dahlin did that at one point, where you're like, okay, there's more there, you know, in all aspects of the game. There's still the offense. Now, Bo Byram, to me, is not the same guy. I can't ask Bo Byram to be this physical, you know, strong defensive defenseman with his size. I think what we're seeing of Bo Byram is, can he have puck possession? Yes. Can he skate? Can he make first passes? Can he bring offense? 100%. But you got to look at the tools that everybody has and how that moves the needle. And so even though Power has, you know, the points and the offense that you could say, oh, great year on paper, there's tools and a part of his game that is not being, dominant, that is not reflecting on paper, that actually is a negative, and that has to turn the other way.
Obviously in any situation, but especially at times like this, the conversation turns to leadership. It was Rasmus Dahlin's first year as captain, but Alex Tuck almost always feels like the elder statesman of this group. And it wouldn't matter whether he was actually 24 or 34. I just feel like that's how Tuck kind of carries himself. Like, he's got this presence about him as a bit of a leader of this group.
He's sometimes 22 and sometimes 42. That's right. What he does. He fluctuates between.
He's the Rico Award winner again here this year. So just based on his season, his off ice, his place within this roster and this organization and his contractual status heading into the summer, like, how do you look at Alex Tuck, and how do you think Alex Tuck looks at all of this?
Well, I think Alex Tuck is looking at, anybody can look at it many different ways. But I think Alex Tuck is looking at, okay, this season I didn't really get to play a ton with Thompson. I played a little bit in a different spot. I was a penalty kill guy. The power play points weren't all there. But I think that there was a huge impact by Alex Tuck on the ice in the way that individually he played. And there's a huge impact off the ice and leadership-wise. And, yeah. I mean, nobody wants to say I'm a leader when you lose 13 in a row and then you lose another 6 in a row. Like, I should be one that's going to stop it. But I think there's more factors, again, that come into play. Do I think Rasmus Dahlin was a good leader this year in his first year as a captain? I think I saw a lot of really good things. I think there's still some development that needs to be done, but I saw a lot of good things. And I think what we see now that Alex Tuck as a leader is really good. Early in the season, I questioned, is Alex Tuck going to be the type of player that is going to work well with Lindy Ruff? Because Lindy likes to just push a little bit and lean, and it's demanding, right? And Tuck had done so well with Don Granato that I wasn't sure how that was going to respond. And I think Alex showed, tons of maturity and leadership in the way that he played under a different coach, under a different kind of approach. And to me, that's leadership. Now, everybody's got to join in, and not everybody got to figure it out. But that's, I have no problem about, Tuck's leadership. And I think, obviously, we talked about it. This summer would be a very, very important time, in my opinion, to look at Alex Tuck and his extension. You can push it down the road. You can kick it down the road because I think you're still, but doing it this summer would be good.
Do you, in your mind, have an idea of who the best fit with him as a centerman is?
Well, it depends what you want to do.
And I only ask it because now it's Thompson and Tuck on the same side, and that's not how we started the year. So it's important to be able to help both of them and or vice versa, right? Moving forward.
Well, if I'm going to like look at my pairs of wingers, I think Quinn Peterka can still play together. And we saw JJ producing at a really good level. And Quinn had a move forward, and then it's kind of slowed down a little bit. But those two could be another pair. Like, that's my pair. Zucker and Tuck, that's my pair. Thompson and who knows? I'm leaving that spot open. That's a pair. But if I'm looking at a sentiment, McLeod does really well with Tuck and Zucker. But maybe, depend if you want to protect Kulik or not, or if you're going to get another centerman to be in your top three. Mm-hmm. Like, in a perfect world, I'd say Zucker, McLeod, Tuck. Those three together could be that veteran, that group that can defend against the best lines, but also produce. That's how I would see it. But then that would leave you with Kulik and Quinn and Peterka. And I don't know that that's the best kind of combo altogether. Maybe it would work well. I mean, like when we saw 2 years ago, Cousins, Quinn, Peterka work well, and maybe that would work well. Younger, you know, a little bit more energy, go and play and let's go. But I think McLeod, Zucker, and Tuck would probably be my line. That would be my go-to, right? End of a period. Hey, McLeod's line, you get out there. You know, end of a game. Big shift after a goal. McLeod line, get out there. Like, that would be Talk with Zucker and McLeod.
Sabres Flyers tonight. It's game 82, fan appreciation night, and look forward to seeing you in the building. Thank you for being along this year. We will have, of course, in arena row giveaways, discounts at concessions, and of course at the team store. And Alex Tuck bobbleheads for the first 15,000 fans. You can visit sabres.com/tickets, get yours. And again, look forward to seeing you tonight. Shayna Goldman on the playoffs next on Sabres Live.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout-out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
You know it's Fan Appreciation Night when Shayna Goldman joins the show. Hi, Shayna.
Hello. Happy Thursday.
Sabres Live Appreciation Day. That's what it is.
It is. And we are on the cusp of the Stanley Cup playoffs now with all the matchups set. So without making this a leading question, what series are you starting with and what's your take on it?
So I just got to pick a random one?
Yeah, and then we'll go from there, and we'll get through all
Yeah, because we have series, but no schedule, so who's to say what really is first?
Exactly. I'm not going to ask what you're doing Sunday afternoon, for instance. So,
I mean, honestly, who knows?
Who knows?
All right, should we get the worst out of the way first? Like, let's go New Jersey, Carolina, and just...
Woo! Love it. What do you think? Okay. What's going to happen? Devils going to overcome all the injuries or what?
No. No, absolutely not. That is far too many injuries. I think getting Dougie Hamilton back is going to help them in a big way, but I think the Siegenthaler injury is really crushing. Kobe Savage, I think, has balanced out his game with Dumoulin well, but not enough in my opinion. And I think the Jack Hughes injury is huge to overcome, but it is interesting because like last time around, it was the Canes forecheck against the Devils rush game. And it is interesting to see how these two teams have both balanced out their attack. Like the Canes forecheck is still their bread and butter, but they're much better off the rush. And the Devils have a forecheck this time around. So they'll match up better than last time in theory, but no, Canes.
Okay, so Markstrom for the Devils, but who do you play for the Carolina? By the way, I pick Carolina as well, but
I'll take Jersey.
Is it a Freddie Anderson kind of series?
I think so. I think that Freddie Anderson's going to give them, I want to say, higher quality goaltending. You just know that it has the durability question mark that's been a problem for literally ever. But with Kochekov, he's had good stretches this year and the potential's there, but I think his game has just been too erratic down the stretch to start him, that he's someone you know you could throw in. I'll be interested to see, though, if they handle things similar to last year, where, if I remember correctly, it was like game three, even though they were up in the series, they swapped goalies. I don't remember if there was something wrong with Anderson and that was the decision, or just to make sure Kochekov stayed fresh. I will be curious if they do that again this year.
Marty, next series.
Okay, I'll pick that one because we're going to stay in the Atlantic, not in Atlantic, in the Metro. So let's go Washington, who is going to face the Montreal Canadiens, who clinched last night. By the way, great, great moment after the game in Fan Appreciation Night when the one Montreal Canadiens fans brought the Hockey Fights Cancer jersey, Brendan Gallagher, that had written inside for his mom. His mom passed away this year. It was awesome. The vibes are so high, Shayna, so high in Montreal. They're crazy. But can they beat the Washington Capitals?
It's going to be really tough because the Capitals have taken a step back lately. And I think two things are the reason why. I think goaltending has been a problem for this team. And with a healthy Logan Thompson, I think they'll get back on track. Even though his game wasn't perfect before he got hurt. Montreal has the juice. They have it offensively. And they have it in net. Their defense really concerns me. And the Capitals have a deep lineup. And I think that top nine is going to create problems for the Canadiens, especially after the way Montreal played the last couple days. they have risen to the occasion when they need to, and I think they step up their game when they're playing top opponents versus these easier nights, and it's kind of like the signs of it being a young team. I still give Washington the slight edge, but who knows, right? Like, this could be that upset to watch.
I got Washington, too. So we're two for two with together, Shayna. Duffer, what do you
Washington.
Got? Okay, so Duffer's joining the do you think they can win with Charlie Lindgren if Logan Thompson's not ready?
I could see it. You know, like, he didn't just forget how to mine the net, right? Like, he's had good stretches, too, this year. It's just both teams down the both goalies down the stretch started to struggle a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if it's because they started changing up the rotation. But I think if he gets in a rhythm and plays a little bit more often like he did last year, maybe it'll work better for him.
Okay.
Battle of Ontario. Shayna.
Okay. This is a trap series for the Leafs. On paper, the Leafs are the better team. There's no doubt about it, right? Because as close as they are, they're both like around break even in expected goals, but you see that the Leafs generate more offense and they convert on them. They have the big guns, right? And with Tavares playing the way he is and Matthew Nyes, it's a big difference from last year where you have an entire top six going. It's not solely on Matthews, Marner, and Nylander. I expect Nylander to pop off. I expect Matthews to be the guy, and I think he's looking better and looking healthier down the stretch. Marner is the one question mark for me, but I think that maybe Four Nations helped kind of rid those demons for him. That being said, I'm picking the Senators. No. I don't care. I'm throwing logic out the window. This feels like the Senators are going to be the pesky Sens who disrupt things. They won the regular season series, which I generally don't account for, but I just feel like they know that this is their moment.
Okay. Can Ullmark outplay Stolarz? Because it has not been the best in the playoffs for Ullmark, even in Boston. So Stolarz, not that he's proven in the playoffs either, but I think it comes down to that. Can Ullmark outplay Stolarz?
I'm going to say yes. I think that he has something to prove now that he is healthy and in the playoffs, unlike that time in Boston when he actually started. He has, 10 playoff games to his name, while Stolarz has 35 minutes of postseason experience. That is it. And yes, it was on his way to a Stanley Cup, but it's very different. You have two big questions facing these two guys. Can they be starters? Can they play that repetition? And can they do it in the postseason? And I wonder how much the series is going to show for both of them. And obviously only one's going one round, so there may still be question marks, but I think Linus Ullmark has got to be extremely motivated to prove that he can be the guy. And I think he showed in the regular season that he could be.
Okay, so I've got Toronto. You've got Ottawa, Shayna. I assume Duffer has Ottawa because he'll never pick Toronto.
No,
so,
I always pick Toronto. So you never listen, which is proving
No, you pick
the point
Toronto,
again.
But then they lose. So then it's like the reverse jinx thing. And
well,
that
I honestly, I'm going against what I believe in Ullmark, and that's why they swept the season series from Toronto. But as much as I think Ullmark will be sensational, I don't think that Ottawa will win the series. So
okay, so now we're against
two
you, Shayna.
Unreal.
Unreal, unreal. Okay, which leaves us with Tampa, Florida in the East. I got a Tampa. I think Tampa makes it to the finals.
Yep.
I think Tampa is the best team in the East. So that's what I got. Kucherov is lights out. Vasilevsky has been much better this year after the surgery a year and a half ago and last season. So I got Tampa. Where do you see that series go?
I am with you with Tampa. Going into the season, I said Tampa Bay is going to Stanley Cup final. I am not backing down now. They have proven me right all year. That core is playing on such an elite level. Every part of it, right? Andrei Vasilevsky had a tough start to the year. By January, he got right back into Vezina form. And I have no concerns about him going into the series because he knows how to bring it in the postseason. Yeah. The supporting cast, those decisions to bring back Ryan McDonagh, I think completely revitalized Victor Hedman, and Hagel and Sorelli are crushing it. I think Gord was a perfect addition. Hopefully they get Bjorkstrand back soon. Like, to me, this is the team to beat. Sorry, Florida. Like, it's nothing against them too, because like this should not be a round one series.
Okay. Duffer, what do you got? Florida is going to be supposedly everybody's available for game one. So we're looking at a much different Florida teams that we've seen the last month.
Well, what we would be looking at is a Florida team that we've actually never seen before.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this is the great unknown. It could be argued in some ways this is their best roster, and yet they've been to the final the last 2 years. Maybe I listened to both of you too much. Maybe my heart belongs to Brandon Hagel. I would have had the buzzer already if it was Family Feud or Jeopardy or any other game show. All right, you guys convinced me. I'll take Tampa. So
yeah, I'm not.
It's
I'm so not,
Florida's winning now that we all three agree, right? 100%,
yeah, that sucks. I'm not sold on Bobrovsky. He's not shown me that he can always steal the series and he can find that form, but I'm not sold on that.
And I'm not sold on Vanacek stepping in for him at all.
Well, no, that's not happening. If they get there, that's see you later. Connor Hellebuck, we're talking about goaltending. Can he beat the St. Louis Blues? Because that is going to be the big spotlight after the disastrous playoffs he had last year against Colorado.
I think that the Jets' defensive structure is miles better than it was last year. And it, oh my God, did it fall apart last postseason, right? Like, that was the nail in the coffin that the defense fell apart because he looked like a complete pumpkin out there, but he had no support. So I'm going to say it is time for playoff redemption for Connor Hellebuck, even though I am still saying the Jets have overplayed him and I'm a little bit worried about the Ehlers injury. I think this is going to be a low-scoring series, though, because these are two of the best defensive teams in the league. I think if Holloway was healthy, maybe this conversation would look a little bit different. I'm going to say it's going to be the Jets having a very slight advantage.
Yeah, I picked the Jets, but if they give Jordan Binnington the opportunity to be big game Binnington in game six, game seven to win a series, it's going to be tough for the Jets. But I think the Jets are the better team, so I'm going to go with the Jets. Duffer?
I'm with Shayna on the Holloway storyline. I think there's more injuries in St. Louis than, yeah, I mean, even Thomas isn't 100%, and there's many players who aren't. But everyone knows I'm never going to bet against Mike Weber. So go Blues.
Go Blues. but Alex, I follow. The Buffalo fans are going to want to cheer for the Jets too. But that's that. Oh, Dallas, Colorado. I think we almost have to wait because we like Jason Robertson last night. That's big if he's not going to be there for the Dallas Stars. And I think Colorado would win that, but I'm worried. Like, is Taylor Seguin going to be at the best level? Like, he just got back after hip surgery in December, and Jason Robertson and they, you know, Mikko Rantanen. What is his impact? So I'm going to pick Colorado, but I think this is going to be a fun series.
Okay. I had Colorado before the Robertson injury. So I'm going to stick with it. I had my Stanley Cup day one of the season was Tampa, Colorado. And then I got a little bit worried because Colorado's roster was not as strong as we thought and a lot of injuries. But I love that the work that they put into this team, any area of weakness, they fixed, right? You changed your entire goaltending situation. You changed your entire center depth below Nathan MacKinnon. Like, that is no small feat. And I think sometimes that's too many new faces and things get out of sorts. But the way they staggered the trades throughout the season, I think, helped a lot. And I think bringing back glue guys like Eric Johnson and now, oh, you know, that guy Gabriel Landeskog, I am all in on the Avs.
Yeah, I'm not all in, but I don't love Dallas's finale to the season, seven-game losing streak. And
oh, you don't like a right side of Labushkin, Brendan Smith, Domba, and CeCe?
It has nothing to – I merely measure wins and losses. So I don't like seven losses in a row, and I don't like the amount of goals they gave up. And
Jake Ottinger struggled.
Yeah, well, I mean, so did Casey. But, yeah, I think it's not hard to lean on Colorado here in this situation for a number of reasons. So,
do you play Landeskog in the top six? The rumor mill says they're going to wait until game three, potentially back in Colorado, control the matchups and all of that. So, but where do you play Gabriel Landeskog?
I play him on that third line. I give him Charlie Coyle and Ross Colton, who I think are versatile players and can like help carry the weight of that line if necessary before throwing him into the top six. And I think it benefits him that the Stars, like, yes, they have the seven-game losing streak, but their poor five-on-five play has been a thing, honestly, since the Haskinen injury and really since Four Nations. Yeah. It's been super obvious how bad they've been at five-on-five. So I think Dallas doesn't have the speed to keep up with Colorado, but I don't know if Landeskog necessarily has the speed to keep up with that top six out of the gates. So I would start with him on line three, maybe power play two, and then see what you need to do, because I think that in games, especially if they're running away with games, I wouldn't mind seeing him start playing with MacKinnon for that familiarity factor to see like if they have the juice, but you can't do that until he's gotten some reps in. And I think until like they can afford to start experimenting.
I got Vegas against Minnesota. I think that's about as easy as a pick as you can get, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. What do you see?
I would pick Vegas as well. I think having Eriksson Ek back is a massive addition. I think having Kaprizov back is huge too. We don't know what level of Kaprizov we're going to see though. I think his injury status is the bigger concern for me. Like, it's the same thing with Sagan. Are you healthy enough to be in the lineup and play game one of the playoffs? Are you healthy enough to be effective are two different things. Kaprizov at 50% is still very good, but can he bring it up to the game breaking level that he had before his injury? I just think the Golden Knights are a matchup nightmare for most teams. They have two centers, Carlson and Eichel, who can play top competition. They have two D pairs with Theodore and Pietrangelo who can match up to the opponent's best. Oh, and then you still have the hurdle line to contain, and their fourth line's pretty good too. So I just think the center depth is a huge advantage for them. It's helped the wingers play up a level than I think we would have expected when you looked at this roster on paper and the defensive depth. It's just too much for Minnesota.
I'm listening, yet I'll just be the outlier here and I'll pick Minnesota. Edmonton, LA.
I am pumped about this series.
Four times the charm?
You know, I'm going to say yes. I have been so back and forth on this one for weeks because I have been burned by it twice. I picked the Kings year one and year two. And then the third time I said, no, I have to go with the Oilers. But the Kings feel different this year. I think Kuzmenko has been a great addition. Byfield is a total star. Deneau is handling those tough matchups. And the Oilers are a much weaker team than last year. I like the swings that they took up front, but it just hasn't panned out. So McDavid and Draisaitl can carry this team around, but I'm so concerned about the holes everywhere else. And now the Bouchard injury is just another wrench in the plans because, yes, Jake Walman can step up and be great on that first pair, right? Like, they looked good together when they've played so far. But now that third pair doesn't have anyone that can move the puck. And I thought if he played on the third pair a little bit, his puck moving ability was going to help the bottom six that doesn't have enough skill up front. And now you don't have that. So I just think the defensive pairs are not as flexible and that forward group just looks way too thin.
Yeah, I mean, Stuart Skinner had a shutout last night, 3-0 shutout of the Sharks. He faced 18 shots, but I don't have the confidence level in Stuart Skinner that I do have in Darcy Kuemper at the other end. I think that comes down to goaltending and the home ice advantage with LA dominating at home. So I'm going with LA this year.
Well, I stupidly went out on the Oiler branch earlier in the week, so I'm not going to backtrack now. But there's only one reason, two, obviously, McDavid and Draisaitl. So, yeah, go Kings, but you can put it in print. I'll take the Oilers here. Okay. Guess what, Shayna? We are right out of time.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Amazing. We did eight series in, 12, 13 minutes. That's pretty good.
See you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Shayna Goldman, you can find all of her extensive playoff preview work on The Athletic. We're back after this.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
How do you like your 50-50, Marty?
I like it when I win it.
No, you're supposed to say, I like it when it's guaranteed above $50,000, which is what we're looking at tonight, thanks to our friends at Northtown Automotive, the fan appreciation, 50-50 wrap. Why is it always about you? Like, why would you be greedy in this situation? Share the wealth,
Okay, I will
Sabres.com/50-50 or scan the QR code on your screen.
I'll have a redo on that one. I do get so energized when I see the numbers go up, 100,000, 120,000. I'm like, yes, like I get energized. So I like my 50-50 to go up. That's how I like it.
Basically to match your energy level.
Well, and we have like the 50-50 booth right in front of our set.
We do.
The screen is there and I see the numbers go up and I'm always intrigued to see like, hey, when is there a big boost? Is it like second period? Everybody's seeing what the total is and the total goes up. Everybody goes and buys more. Online, like whenever we promote it on the game, like do we see a boost because people at home are like, oh, let's buy some. So I'm always kind of intrigued with that. But when the number goes up, I get energized, that's for sure.
What are you looking for tonight?
Well, I'm looking forward to see, you know, some of our, you know, our friends that stop by the set, you know, every game and kind of just, you know, have a good summer. I'm looking forward to seeing a little bit of a push, right, from the Sabres against the Flyers. The last time the Flyers played the Sabres, it was in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. It was game two after they had beaten Montreal and they had Bradshaw as interim coach. And, you know, they beat the Sabres, what, 7-4 that day? So I'm looking for, okay, a response and last game of the year, go out and leave it all on the ice.
Who's the number one star tonight?
Tage Thompson.
How many?
3 goals.
Wow. Bold prediction. More of those coming up at 6:30 on Fan Appreciation Night. We'll see you then.